This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
Sometimes when the truth finally cracks through the surface, it doesn't bring clarity, it brings chaos. We've seen it before. Think of Carrie Rawson, the daughter of Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, who found out almost overnight that the man who'd tucked her in at night was a sadistic murderer. She called it a nuclear bomb in the middle of her life, and in her memoir, she wrote that it took years just to begin to feel right again. It's not just about grief, it's not just about anger, it's the complete collapse of identity, because when your entire life was built on a person who turns out to be someone else, you're left questioning not just them, but yourself. That's where we are in the Gilgo Beach case. In our next segment here, we watch Asa Elrup navigate the wreckage, literally and emotionally. The home she shared with Rex Huerman is torn apart by law enforcement. Her memories are shattered. Her stability is gone. But what's most jarring isn't her anger or confusion. It's her refusal to let go of the version of Rex she still sees. And then there's Victoria, their daughter. She's younger, she's conflicted, but she's also staring into a new reality, one that Asa may never accept. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is joining us to walk us through the psychology of denial, generational difficulties, and differences in processing trauma, and what happens when the multiverse collapses, when the father you adored becomes the man the world calls a monster. This is where it gets personal. This is the collateral damage of evil hiding in plain sight. And as you watch, let me know your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. If you're listening to us on a podcast platform, be sure to hit subscribe there. And then do check us out on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi so you can be part of our conversations on all of these cases. I want to focus a little bit more on Asa here and seeing what some of her reactions have been to this. Here's another one we're going to take a look at. This is her walking around the house shortly after the raid took place. And what she says at the end is quite poignant. Let's take a look.
When we got back home after they raided it, it was not recognizable. No beds, no clothes. Our bathroom sink was broken. They should have actually deemed our house uninhabitable.
Oh, look at this.
It was as if they were trying to leave us for dead.
They broke that,
didn't
they?
They just pulled this out of the wall.
They pulled it out of the wall. I think that's what that hole in the wall was from.
What is in here?
Garbage, nothing.
Well, something was in here because it's not in here now.
The kids, they were crying themselves to sleep before we actually got into the house. We were all doing it. Fear, anxiety, guilt, all of those emotions are all going like a roller coaster, rolling, rolling, and rolling, and rolling. But we needed to come home. They had a lot of sentimental stuff in the house. And I still feel Rex is here.
There you go. That's the one. I still feel Rex is here, as if he's some sort of spiritual entity.
So here she is.
He's alive. He's in prison. But I still feel Rex is here in a real warm tone. Like I still, it's like if someone died, a loved one, a great person in your world died. And in to her, that kind of is what happened.
Yeah. I don't think she's ever, no matter how the trial goes, even found guilty. And she's even said in other clips too, you know, I don't think she's ever going to accept that he is the other person she didn't know.
Yeah.
She is so wrapped up in the image of him, and they were married a long time. They were together a long time. And that's a lot of reps of him being what she keeps describing as a family man, a family man, a family man, a family man. You know, from her perspective, what he was presenting her was someone that is always taking care of her, sending her on nice vacations, taking care of the kids, providing, from her context. So just watching and listening to her throughout this, being presented with hard evidence, you know, of accusations and details, and she's not accepting any of it. And I don't think it's a survival mechanism. I just think, I just think she just doesn't believe it because that's not who she knew.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's see some more of Asa in action here.
I'm sorry. That planning document is so Dexter style. It's absolutely absurd.
Say if they really did happen down here, he really must have been like Superman. For us not to have noticed anything ever. This used to be like his bedroom growing up. A lot of his, like, not only just gun stuff, but a lot of his childhood stuff, family heirlooms, were in this room. So for him to do that in this room, a little unrealistic, but I guess not impossible.
No, sorry. You want to know how I feel? They are picking, making assumptions for their narrative. I know that. I've known Rex since I was 18 years old. I know what this room was originally used for. And they're just allegations. He's never said to me, don't use my computer. He's never said, no, I'm not going to give you the password. I need that.
In other words, there's never anything off limits.
There's nothing off limits from Rex Huerman.
There's nothing off limits from Rex Huerman. No. You can't go in part of your house.
Tony, that was the key. When I saw her make that statement, you know why there's nothing off limits? Because she never asked.
Yeah, exactly. It's bio.
So when I saw that clip yesterday, yeah, that's when I said to me, that's it. That's the ticket. He didn't have to say anything's off limits because she never asked.
Yeah.
She was not curious at all. So when you can see all these aspects of his life that he actually segregated out and compartmentalized away from his daughter and his wife and his stepson, they weren't curious. And it's not because it was by intentionally, I don't want to know what's going on. He didn't arouse suspicion. Mm-hmm. And boy, suspicion is an interesting thing. Suspicion is when we have incongruencies in our words and our actions. His words and actions throughout his kids' entire lives, because they grew up with it. And since his wife normalized it from the beginning of their relationship, it's just the way it was.
Yeah.
Again, that they were all groomed into what his normal behavior was, and he was satisfying the family man persona. That's all she wanted. It's all she wanted in life was a family man. And yep, so that's what he provided. And that's not going to blow her narrative. It's so easy to see now watching this. Again, if there's, again, edits can do a lot. You know, there might be other things that sure, they edited out that might be incongruent. But if we're taking this as all there is to her and the daughter and everything, it's easy to see why there's no charges against them. They were just duped by I'll call him a lifestyle con artist, because mm-hmm, he actually hid an entire lifestyle from his family under their noses. And it didn't take a lot. It just took a family not being curious.
Yeah, when you've been groomed not to ask questions, and you're not even thinking that you're omitting something, that you're not asking questions, you just don't do it because it's not something you would do because you already trust. That's how people like this get away with shit. It's so shocking to see it. It's like, how? But if you look at it and go, okay, I get it. I wonder the same about the case of the daughter, the Maddie Soto.
Jen
Soto, because we've looked at that. Like, how did the mom not know? The mom's
Stephen Stearns, right?
Yeah, the mom's literally saying to go sleep with her daughter, not like have sex with her daughter, but she was fine with this boyfriend sleeping in the same bed and thought nothing of it. And it's like, how? It's like this. I think it's a similar type story of how her mind worked, and she had previous trauma, and this guy kind of swooped in as the guy that was going to save the day. It's a similar type dynamic. If you look at Asa and the kids and the dynamic over there, not saying Rex was abusing his children. I don't think he was. It doesn't look like there's any signs of that, but they sure thought he was normal.
And Maddie Soto's mother that was diagnosed with a lot of mental illness as well that she was struggling with. I don't think she has been or will be.
Yeah.
But again, that grooming aspect of it, though, is what I agree with is congruent. They're groomed into what normal looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and so actually, just if you want to draw a parallel here, Maddie Soto's mother sided with her boyfriend over Maddie, her daughter.
Yes.
and everything. That would be interesting. Asa obviously is not, if it'll be interesting what it does to the family dynamic, because the daughter is on the fence and thinks her dad did it. It'll be interesting to see what it does to the family dynamic there, because she's not going to go against Rex.
Let's take a look at that, because I think the daughter is dealing with some of that right now. Here's some of her observations on
maybe that. Even with all this growing evidence against him, maybe there is some loyalty still to my dad and to my mom too. Like, listen, whether the world likes it or not, whether I like it or not, he's my dad. They can't take that away from me.
I don't know what acceptance looks like. Acceptance to me is just it. I have to move on.
I think if he was guilty, it's gonna start to become like a love-hate relationship. This is my dad, and I love him as my dad. The hate is this other side of him that came out. And going forward, I'm not gonna interact with him the same way I would have if this never happened. Both the feelings, love and hate, can coexist.
She seems to have the best grip on this of all of the family members. I mean, she's got a whole life to live ahead of her. I mean, she's young. Mom is not. Let me ask you this, in terms of people accepting the reality on reality's terms of what's going on around them with family members or somebody close to them. I wonder if there is a stat. Is it more typical to see younger people accept the reality of what's going on so they can move on with their lives versus someone who's Asa's age, who, you know, she's lived her life for the most part. She's near retirement age by now. And I mean, you'd have to really kind of unearth your entire life and go, well, all that was not quite this what I thought it was. And then start anew at, you know, I don't know how old she is, 60 something, 50 something. I don't know. But I wonder how much of that plays a role in terms of being able to accept and absorb and move forward with reality.
So I don't know the stats on it off the top of my head. What my thoughts on it are this, is that Asa made a choice. Victoria didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be anti your choices would invalidate your choices throughout, you know, from the age of 18 till I think she's in her late 50s right now. I think Rex is what, 57, 58, something like that. And they're roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a different thing psychologically that's going on. And it'll be interesting with Victoria too. So she's, as you can see how conflicted she is right now, because she's taken in all the evidence. I mean, she's listening to the news and she listens to all these things, but here's where I think you're going to see a shift in her, is when if she goes and is in the courtroom and she sees the evidence, she sees what was done, and it becomes more personal at that point.
Yeah.
It's not right now. It's more of a storyline right now. It's more, there's distance between it. It's just words to her that is being described and things. I don't know. I don't think she's seen anything.
Yeah.
She's just been told what there is. But when you actually got to touch it, taste it, feel it, up or close, the visceral response she has, I think is going to be a little more profound than what she has now. And I know you'll probably go to this, but I think BTK's daughter, when she came in to talk to her, gave a lot of clarity to what she's going through. Because, I mean, think about it. You are in the midst of a multiverse. I mean, just think of Marvel Comics. I mean, literally, you are living in one universe, and all of a sudden, you were just told, no, there's two universes you're living in, and you're completely unaware that this other one's running parallel to you with your dad's living in too.
Yeah.
And it's a mind bend. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so Asa's completely deciding to that other universe doesn't exist. And Victoria is sitting there saying, huh, I think that other universe does exist because the evidence seems pretty hard for it to exist. So how do I deal with that? You know, what do I keep a toe here, keep a toe here? And so you see her wrestling with this. It's going to be a long road.
Yeah, and Carrie has struggled with that. BTK's daughter, obviously, throughout her life, she wrote a book about it. She's been an advocate for other families who are struggling with a situation like this, because she's very much in the same sort of shoes that the daughter here is in right now.
Very similar.
It's a weird thing to think about. I was just in Wichita the other day. Me being me, it's the first time I've been back there for about a decade. Me and my daughter, We drove around Park City, showed her where BTK's house was, went into the grocery store where he used to work. And I used to go to that grocery store regularly. It was my grocery store. And I'm like, hey, did you know about, I was like giving her the fun facts of BTK. She's like, oh, really? Anyway. But
we need new hobbies, don't we?
Yeah. Where it's like, we're in Wichita. What should we do for the first thing? Let's go to find the BTK house or where it was. And let's go to the grocery store. Let's go to Leakers. There's the gas station Carrie worked at that she took. Yeah. But I digress. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. Always a pleasure. What Robin just illuminated isn't just about Asa Elrip or Victoria Huraman. It's about the human mind's desperate need to make sense of the impossible. Asa, facing the complete dismantling of her life, appears to have made a choice to cling to the story she knows, to the man who once saved her. Because to accept the alternative means rewriting every memory, every emotion, every belief she built her life on. And for someone nearing the twilight of that life, the emotional cost of tearing it all down may simply be too great. Victoria, on the other hand, hasn't made that choice because she can't. She didn't choose this life, the father, or this fall from grace. She's still forming who she is, and now forced to do that in the shadow of a criminal investigation, tabloid headlines, and a truth that seems to shift every time she breathes. Robin spoke about the concept of multiverse, two realities running parallel. The one where your father built you a dollhouse and kissed you goodnight, and the one where that same man may have buried bodies by the beach. And here's the cruel part. Both can be true. That's what makes it so hard. We often ask, how could she not know? Maybe the better question is, what would you do if you found out everything you knew was a lie? This isn't just the story of a killer. It's the story of those left behind emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. The people who now have to figure out how to live in a world that no longer makes sense. People like Asa, people like Victoria, people like Carrie Rawson. It's a story that will never have a happy ending. And a journey very unique to each and every individual experiencing it. What are your thoughts on this case and where it's at? Tell me in the comment section on YouTube. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, please do check out our YouTube channel as well. Hit subscribe on the podcast, then go hit subscribe on YouTube. And yeah, joining these conversations, let us know what you think. You can also see us do the show, and we have other exclusive segments on YouTube as well. So please do check that out. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you guys for watching. We'll talk again real soon.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.